Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Hey, look who's on the Celebrity Hotline. It's Tom Skilling, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Tom Friggin Skilling, I probably should say. Is that okay if I call you that, Tom?
Anna, you can indeed. I'll tell you something, and we can thank Pat Tomasulo for that of our morning, because he started that. And my gosh, that's a moniker that lives on. But you know, there are worse things that could be said about.
It kind of works because we hold you in that kind of high esteem that you're just, you know, it's just not Tom Skilling. It's almost like you should just be Tom. You know how some celebrities go by just one name,
yeah.
but then that would be too confusing. So you need a little more oomph, you know, to sort of, you know. Qualify who you
absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely. It works. I'm telling you, people have adopted it, and it's kind of funny. How are you doing, Anna? Everything going well?
Life is good. You know, I was just kind of looking out at the glorious skyline here in downtown Chicago. I'm looking at the river and the beauty of our city, and you know, it's pretty decent weather-wise. I'm just thinking a beach day maybe this weekend, although Saturday looks like maybe some rain. Is that right?
Well, you know, part of the day. I'll tell you the truth, Anna. Isn't it amazing? We have all this humidity in the air. I mean, lots of it. And yet, so little rain. It happens in spots, but it's a hit or miss. And that pretty much is the way it continues. And the rain Saturday will be no exception. I was just looking over the probabilities of precipitation generated from a blend of models that we look at. And, you know, the highest probability of any rain is Saturday, when there may be something like 40% coverage in the area. Today, it's 12%. Tomorrow, 9%. Friday, 8%. Saturday, 40%. And then it drops off Sunday, Monday, Tuesday next week. And we'll drop the humidity finally in that period, because we're going to have a jet stream shift in from the northwest. But the humidity and warmth will wash back in again later next week. And we may, away from the lake, because we're going to have a day-to-day breeze off the lake, might get some low 90-degree temps late in the week and Saturday, with a little bit of a cool down early next week. But wow, all this moisture and so little rain. Somebody wrote me from McHenry County yesterday, Anna, and says, hey, you mention rain all the time, and there's nothing happening up here. Well, we've been mentioning that, too. We're in a serious drought over the northern half of the area, and McHenry County is definitely in the middle of it. And, you know, it's just a devil at this time of the year to get organized rains to address this moisture deficit we've got going.
Yeah, I know, Tom, you also, I heard you were looking through the Yale University drought study. I have not looked at that yet, but you said there's some interesting things you've learned from that maybe we should know about.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We've been hearing about this drought out in the West, and by climatological reckoning, this may be the second worst drought they've had out West in 1,200 years. And the way, by the way, they come up with those numbers is they go back beyond the instrument record. They use proxy indicators, everything from tree rings to lake bottom sediment to samplings and cross sections. There are ways to construct the climate before the era of instruments. That's a branch of meteorology or climatology known as paleoclimatology. At any rate, what's going on out there is really west, really bad out west. And California, this article is pointing out that California is effectively America's garden. It produces two-thirds of all the fruits, nuts, and grown here in the United States. And listen to this list of crops that we depend on California for. Artichokes, avocados, broccoli, carrots, celery, kiwi, figs, garlic, grapes, raisins, raspberries, strawberries, honeydew melons, nectarines, olives, pistachios, plums, tangerines, mandarins, and walnuts, as well as almonds.
Those are all my favorite food groups, Tom. I can't eat without that.
Oh, isn't that the truth? I'll tell you, it's really incredible. They say that the state's almonds alone generate $6 billion annually to the economy out there, and that the state's agricultural industry generates $50 billion in produce every year, and that's more than the entire gross domestic products of Vermont and Wyoming, as well as the economies of Alaska and Montana alone. So, you know, it's pretty substantial. The factors are dry. We've been seeing these pictures emerge of these boats floating in these seriously depressed reservoirs out there, and you realize how dry it is. They've had only 40% their normal precipitation, so it's really quite a situation out there. You know, it's we think of the desert Southwest as a dry, you know, a dry area. It's a desert, but it's even dry by their standards. They had virtually no monsoon last year, and they're about ready to head into monsoon season. So all eyes are on the heavens to see what this monsoon season, which starts around mid-June, runs through November out there, and features afternoon thunderstorms that can bubble up over Arizona and Southern California and New Mexico and Colorado and Utah. And they're anxiously awaiting what comes from these rains this year.
You know, it's interesting, Tom. I just returned at a couple of days off. I just returned from Yellowstone. I was in Yellowstone National Park. Yeah. We spent some time. We started in sort of with the California border. We went into Nevada. We went to Vegas, baby, for one night, and then moved to the Hoover Dam and kind of up through Utah. We passed through Arizona.
Oh, cool.
And it just was 111 at the Hoover Dam. So it was like a quick, let's take a picture and move on. But then we kept going up north, and we made it up all the way up to Yellowstone. And it was just amazing. I got to go back there. You think of all the ecosystems there and the natural beauty. It was sort of from Vegas, which is the man-made thing, to nature's gifts to the world there in Yellowstone Park. And I got to just say, it was magical. The geysers and the, just taking in the beautiful wildlife, the bison and all that kind of thing. It was amazing, Tom.
Oh,
I just loved it.
Anna, it sounds like a magnificent trip. You know, I went to a conference out in Boulder, Colorado, and then it was a weather conference, two weeks long, back in the mid-80s. And I got in my car, and I just drove after that for a week. I went down to Arizona, covered the same, a lot of the same terrain you have. And it is amazing, isn't it, to see that? Did you go into the Hoover Dam? I mean, that's an incredible thing built back in the 1930s. And Lake Mead is behind it. It's the source of water for Las Vegas and Phoenix. It also generates electricity. And I remember, and on that tour into the dam, you go down into the you know, the infrastructure of the dam, and there are some windows there that look out on this, you know, 1,000-foot drop.
Yeah.
It seems that way anyway, on the front side of the dam. And if you put your phone through there, the little slats in the window that they've got, you can take a picture looking down the full extent of the dam. And I remember our tour guide telling us you couldn't do that in the summer because it gets so hot out there that these little slats you're putting your arms through will burn you, you know. So you're out there in hot season with your trip.
Well, and that was the problem. The line was really long, and the temperatures were so hot that you could feel it almost through your shoes. The pavement was burning your feet. I mean, it was 111 and just no shade unless you go into the bathroom area. So it was cool to see it. It was it gave me reason to want to go back. Just, you know, a magical place. And then Yellowstone, boy, I want to go back there for two weeks or so, because you just look around everywhere and you think, gosh, this is before man touched anything, how it must have looked. And it is just something to behold.
Yeah, it really is. Do you know, Anna, I read an interesting stat the other week that the concrete that was used to build Hoover Dam back in the 1930s would be enough to create a two-lane highway that goes all the way from Seattle, Washington to Miami, Florida, across the whole country. You could do it with that amount of concrete that went into that dam. So it's, you know, that's a marvel of engineering. And, of course, as you say, the whole region is a marvel of nature. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, and you think, wouldn't want to work on that project in terms of building it. I mean, you think about, oh, my gosh, that sheer drop just getting close to the edge there was enough for me. I don't know, but you got to go out there if you haven't seen these magical parts of the United States. This is a great time to do it. We can't even go to Europe in places like that, at least not all that easily. So
right.
A lot of folks are doing that.
No, it's good. It's so true, Anna. Well, how cool is that? That's a beautiful trip.
Tom, I got more to ask you about. Can we pause for a second here? Because I got to check the traffic. Back with Tom Skilling here on WGN. Anna DeVlantis here with you. Hey, look, I gotta mention something to you, because the cicadas out on the East Coast are causing some problems. I mean, some people don't mind them. Others say the sound is just super annoying, and you just got to deal with it. But the Washington D.C. National Weather Service says they're actually showing up on weather radar, Tom, which I thought was fascinating.
It really is. You know what else shows up on weather radar are migrating birds, but insects do, and you're right. I saw a piece on that just yesterday, how the radar is filling up with these cicadas. You know, and somebody wrote me on social media. I hear from folks all over the place, and a fellow sent me a picture of all these piles of cicada carcasses pile up against the trees on the National Mall out in Washington. And somebody else, a woman, wrote me and said, you know, I'm getting a little tired of all this. She said that buzzes all the time. The noise is deafening. And she said these things, they literally hit you as you're walking. You know, they bump into you. And so it's really something. We in Chicago will not see that particular breed of cicada. That's occurring as far west as downstate east central Illinois, down toward the Champaign area, says the Botanic Garden, Chicago Botanic Garden. But I gather our year for those will be 2024 in this area, because we last had our cicada invasion 17 years ago. But yeah, it's a real issue out there, and it speaks to the density of their, of these cicadas in the environment that you can pick them up on radar. It's really something.
So, I mean, I guess it's interesting because I often hear you in the meteorological world. I hear you talk about ground clutter and other things that sort of show up on radar. I was just so fascinated to think, what is it about them? Is it their sound? Is it the sheer mass of them that makes it sort of pop up? How does that work, Tom?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? You know how radar works. It sends out pings of energy from these antennas that rotate on pedestals. And when they bounce off something, be it a hydrometeor, a raindrop or a snowflake, or a more solid object like dust or insects or birds, it comes back to the radar. And in fact, they actually have to, we have to damp down the return signals that we get on radar, because we're trying to screen out the insects and birds in many cases. We want to see the precipitation. But these radars are very powerful and very sensitive. And you can, in certain modes of operation, you can see all these flying, biomasses, if you will, insects and birds and so forth. Mm-hmm. You know, it was interesting. In our area, we had some major bird navigation routes that go through the Midwest. And for a long time, in the mornings, meteorologists would see their radars light up, and they thought it was just morning ground clutter, a temperature inversion or something like that. But they found that, no, it's actually the birds taking off in the morning and taking flight as part of their migratory movement. So, that's pretty fascinating, but to think that cicadas are doing that is really amazing.
How about that? It's just incredible. I was wowed by it, and to hear that birds can do it too, I guess it all makes sense. It all makes sense, Tom.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Well, you know, we use radar to track aircraft. That's a solid object, and we know that. Mm-hmm. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised that even smaller flying objects animals or insects would show up as well. It's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. Hey, Tom, just about a minute or so left. I just want to get a look at what we've got coming our way the next few days and into the weekend. What should we know, Tom, to help us out here?
Anna, we're in a real summer pattern here. There'll be warmth and humidity. There'll be a day-to-day light lake breeze that comes off the lake in the late mornings and afternoons. Tempers the heat along the shoreline. So what we're talking about is upper 80s and even later in the week, some low 90s, whereas downtown and along the shoreline we'll have mid to upper 70s in the next couple of days. And when that lake breeze comes in, it creates what's called a temperature inversion and can bring patches of fog in at times, because the cool water in the lake cools the air above it, and that cool air can be cooled down to the dew point, to the saturation point. That's where fog forms. So that's why you see these little patches of fog come in and some haze that hangs over the air. But by and large, I guess you'd characterize the next 3 or 4 days as partly sunny. These beautiful, cottony summertime cumulus clouds out there that boil away when you animate them. And a couple of them will produce an isolated shower or thunderstorm. And there's a better chance of that the farther south you go from Chicago, downstate. and in our southern suburbs. But the chances are only about 10 or 20% coverage until we get to Saturday, when in the afternoon there may be 40% coverage. And then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday turns less humid and a little cooler. Winds will blow in from the north and the northeast. And I'll be beautiful, low 80s early next week, and 70s at the shoreline again.
All right, well, I'll meet you at Hollywood Beach, or is that Kathy Osterman Beach over there, maybe Sunday afternoon. Bring Maddie. I'll bring my little dog, Blossom, and we can run around.
I will. Maddie will be delighted to hear that you thought of her. So, and by the way, Bill Snyder says to say hello, too. He had talking to you. He said, boy, is she nice. I said, she is nice. Yeah. No surprise there.
Well, Bill's in Arizona in the heat right now. I know that. And you and I probably prefer Sunday's weather, so that could be very enjoyable, Tom.
He just got back in, and he loves it. 106 degrees. He was lamenting the fact that it turned a little cooler Monday with the rain. He said, I've been waiting for years for a 100-degree temperature here. And I said, well, Bill, consider yourself alone in that regard.
Yeah, you're on an island, Bill, but we still love you.
I gotta run,
Tom, but it's awfully good talking with you. Thanks for making
good
time for us on Wednesday. We'll talk soon, okay?
You bet. Thanks, Anna.
Tom Skilling, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems. It's time for the news at the top of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.